alongside my co-host and partner.
That is Tony Ruckus in the place to be. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
As you can hear, we're in a little bit of a house mood today. So we're going to be playing house songs throughout the show. We have a special guest with us, actually. You know, so we're pro Toronto, so we'd like to support all the artists and promoters and entertainers within the city. So we have a pretty popular entertainer, I think, anyway. A very good friend of mine, Peter Bon Giovanni, and we'll get to him in a couple of minutes because he has a show tonight, a gig to get to, so we don't want to keep him too late. But the show today is strictly going to be sports in the second half. We're going to talk about a bunch of things. Roy Hibbert saga. We're going to talk about KD, MVP, Kevin Durant. Mark Jackson was fired. Steve Kerr is going to be hired. We're going to talk Pierce Garnett, Raptors game 7. Is Vince coming back? All this stuff. So we're going to talk about that in the second half. First bit of the show is going to be our interview with Peter Bon Giovanni, though. So you've been so to get through with that. To say to the people, Tony?
You pretty much covered all bases there, sir. So let's go.
So right now we're gonna have Peter Bon Giovanni step up to the mic. Peter, you there?
All right. Testing 1, 2, 3. You're definitely on air, Peter. We're glad to have you.
Thanks for having me, Reggie. How come you don't talk so nicely about me when you see me in person, huh?
Buddy, I was bigging you up. What are you talking about?
I'm the guy that introduced this
guy to house music. What are you talking about?
That is very true. Oh, well, I don't know if he's talking about me, but yes, he did introduce me to house music.
So what's doing amazing, boys?
Well, you know, we're just here. We just started the podcast about, I don't know, what, a month ago?
Yep.
So we've been doing it. We had a couple of interviews. Like I said in the intro, I like to big up acts in Toronto and people that are doing big things in the city. And now that it's summertime, things are starting to get a little bit live here. So I like to have people come on and talk, or we like to have people come on and talk about what they're doing in the city. So that's why I thought, hey, you know what? Let's call Peter. Peter's doing big things, right?
We like to interact with the public and those that are doing positive things in the city of Toronto. We support that.
Yes, like the Raptors, the Leafs, if they ever get it together. But yeah, whatever. Well, that's we won't talk about that right now.
Positive things.
Positive exactly. Things, positive. Exactly. Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
No problem.
Not a problem at all.
Okay, so Pete, real quick. First off, congratulations on the nuptials.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're getting married, Peter?
You got married.
Yes.
You got married. Oh, shucks. Congrats, bro.
So congratulations on that. Life's about to change. I don't know if that's good or bad, but...
Oh, congrats. Congrats, Peter. I didn't
Hopefully
even know,
good.
Bro.
Thank you very much, guys.
No problem.
So getting into what you do. Okay. I know you're a percussionist. I know you're a drummer. I know you're an entertainer. For the people that aren't familiar with these terms, why don't you tell them what you do?
Okay, no problem. So, myself, I play percussion, which everybody knows a drum as a bongo, but there's several different types of drums. I won't get into the complete details, but I play bongos, which are the smaller drums. I play congas, I play timbales, and I play West African djembe. Okay. I do this pretty much all over the city, and I've been doing that for the last 12 years, 15 years. And since then, we've created a company called Bongo and B Entertainment, which caters to nightlife, corporate events, private function, weddings, and we are a DJ lighting, sound, live entertainment company, a full productions company, basically, and not just focused on bongo drums, but we have all different types of live entertainment.
Okay, so this is not a one-man show. It's not just you doing this. So you have a partner, or you have like you said, is Bongo and B, that's the name of the company, correct?
Correct, that's right. So Marco Bongo is my business partner, who's another percussionist that was in the scene. My stage name was Peter B, hence Bongo and B was born. Mm-hmm. And out of the love of drumming, we've created a company that focused primarily on live entertainment. And a few years ago, we acquired the DJ portion of our company. So now we can facilitate anything from staging, lighting, sound, full production, and then into live entertainment. So from front to back, we can cover everything. And it's definitely not a one-man show.
That's excellent.
That is very, very, very impressive.
Hence, I'm in the office till 8 o'clock still.
Oh, excuse me.
Is that what we're getting you tonight? Or?
So, Peter, just a quick question. I guess just off the top of my head, I'm sorry. You listed a whole lot of things that you do, you and your partners. Are you guys coming out with like a CD or anything like that? Do you guys sell CDs, or is there anything in the works, or is anything that you have, or is this pretty much live band and bongos and DJs and the live performance aspect is that you guys are going with?
So, no, we don't necessarily have a CD, like an album, but what we do is we create mixes and fuse that with live percussion and dance. So there's elements of electronic as well as live entertainment portions of drumming and dance, which is very attractive to audiences. Everybody has a love for deep house beats, and when you throw the element of live percussion over top, it creates a different energy, a really lively energy. So what we've done is created mixes and choreographed shows for the public and our audiences.
Okay, all right.
And we performed such shows at Digital Dreams last year,
right,
which is a huge event. We perform these at weddings, corporate events. From a standpoint of being single artists, we're always performing. For instance, tonight I'm at Jazz Bistro.
Okay.
I'm going to plug that 251 Victoria Street, third floor patio. Be there.
Oh, wow.
Always the businessman.
I love that. I love it. I love it.
And Marco's always doing events on his own as well. But as a company, we have a lot of artists we know because we've been in the industry for so long.
Okay.
So we've been able to touch base and partner up with some incredible musicians.
So a simple question, like how did you get started and why the drums?
Well, that can be a very simple answer, but
yeah.
I think Reggie could attest to the fact that when, for whatever reason, I think was when I was about 30 years old, I would be hearing the drums in the nightclubs, and while everybody was doing whatever they were doing, when at the end of the night they needed to find me, I was right beside the drummers.
I understand.
That's how it started. I started taking lessons with a person by the name of Davidson.
Right.
And that's how I kind of got started, and I never looked back. It was a passion. It was something I had to do and continue to do. So.
Okay.
So Peter, I know throughout knowing you for all these years, I know that you travel to Cuba every year now or every other year? Or?
Oh, pretty much now it's every other month.
Well,
see that I'm married.
I know.
Can you squeeze two more?
Yeah, we do a lot of workshops in Cuba where we've gone in to study folkloric Afro-Cuban drum and dance with the masters down there. So you really get a sense of all of it originated from Africa. So you get the influences of, the parts of Africa translates Afro-Cuban. And we take in a lot of the folkloric drum and dance in Cuba.
Well, the thing I like about that is that you're actually going to the root of where the rhythms actually come from, and you're learning from people that have grown up with that. You're not just taking a class or trying to do it on your own or buying a CD and trying to copy. You're actually learning how they play and why they play.
I agree. I mean, if you take a look at any of the music today, even the electronic music, I could name some of the rhythms that play, like a wawanko, which is a rhythm that you hear in so many different types of songs, whether it's rock, whether it's house music, whether it's R&B. And I apply whatever I've learned from Latin to West African and fuse it all together to be able to perform and play over top of electronic music or with live music.
All right. So if people need to get in contact with you, is there some contact information you can let the party people know about?
Yeah, so in regards to getting in touch with us, our company name again is, our website is www.bongoandb. We have our own personal websites that are hyperlinked in that website that you can see what Marco and I are all about.
Okay. And what type of gigs do you guys like to perform, or are you a resident anywhere?
Yeah, currently I'm resident at T2 Lounge Friday nights, where I perform alongside the DJ. And Saturday nights at T2 Lounge in Woodbridge again, we do a cocktail sax and conga over some really smooth lounge house that works very well. We've been doing that now for about a year and a half. They've had us there. And that just proves, you know, how much people love the live aspect of drumming.
And what's the address?
The address at T2 Lounge, I believe, is 131 Whitmore. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, we'll probably get it up on the site for you, just to make the people know where you're at.
That's in Woodbridge,
and Jazz,
right?
Jazz Bistro is at 251 Victoria Street. And I've just started a Thursday night to launch off their patio, 9 p.m. till whenever, right behind Dundas Square.
Yeah, you might see Reggie and I around there, so definitely hold a spot.
I hope so. Okay, same College Street vibes, Reg. You'll know what they are.
Oh, yeah.
DJ Leo Love is the resident.
Okay. You know what? I was listening to Beat Bodega today.
He's our man down there.
Nice vibes, man. Nice vibes.
Thank you.
So do you have any gigs coming up? I know you just mentioned that you're resident, and I mean, like, do you have any, like, big gigs coming up, or are you planning anything for the future, or
we're seeing if we are going to be doing Digital Dreams again.
Okay.
And I'm just waiting on word from a New Year's party in Dubai for one of the big hotels there. They were looking for 10 drummers to perform for the New Year's party.
Really?
Yeah, so
you're going all out with this,
eh? Like, yeah, I'll do it. What do you need?
yeah, no kidding.
Hey, man. Who cares?
Definitely. Go big or go home.
Now, seriously, I know Tony already asked this, but to Cuba, but Dubai, hey, if you can squeeze him, like a little guy to carry your records, little guy to carry your
drums. Jumped, Peter jumped right over that. Well, when I asked him that, it's like he didn't even hear what I was saying.
Technician. Yeah, I'm going to tell him that we could do a podcast live from Dubai.
Peter, I love your business mind, bro. You're really doing this.
Now we're talking.
There you go.
Definitely.
Sorry, guys. T2 Lounge, it was 177 Whitmore, Unit 13. My bad.
And that's Woodbridge, right?
That's correct.
And you're at Jazz Bistro tonight, correct?
Jazz Bistro every Thursday, 9 p.m. Don't miss it. Leo Love spins the craziest of craziest music.
I can attest to that. Those Revolution and Beat Bodega podcasts or mixes he does, crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, you can't really find this in a lot of places, and that's why I love doing this gig.
Excellent.
So I've been creeping a little bit on your Facebook page, Peter, from time to time, and I just wanted to know, do you ever play out of town? Well, you just mentioned, you know what I mean, that you may have a gig in Dubai, you go to Cuba, but are there any other places that you've gone, you know what I mean, to do what it is that you're doing?
Out of the city. I mean, we played in Montreal, we played on the outskirts. It depends on where.
Yeah. Like, you've been stateside. You know what I mean? As you said, Montreal. Like, where have you gone? Where have you gone with this? I know you're obviously in Toronto, but where have you gone with this recently?
I think the last tour that Marco did, just to give you an idea of where Marco's been as well, besides myself, Colombia,
okay.
Portugal, Ibiza. Just off the top of my head.
Yeah, and let me just ask you another question. I guess for yourself personally, where would you like to play? Is there a country that you have in mind that you'd like to, you know what I mean, go down?
Where I would like to go?
Yeah.
Africa.
Africa.
I definitely would want to do a workshop in Africa, which I haven't done yet. That's on the bucket list.
I understand.
Okay. West Africa, East Africa?
West Africa.
Of course, West Africa.
Mali, Guinea, Ivory Coast, but probably Guinea, because most of the rhythms I study come from Mali and Guinea.
All right, cool. So, Pete.
Yes.
Last thing. Let's give them your contact information one last time. We'll also put this up on the website on our partners page, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
And we will share this on our Facebook page as well with you and whoever can make it there.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
Give them your
Thank
contact
you,
information
you
one more time. And
no problem. So our main number is 905-660-0069. And that's the Bongwen B main line. And for personal bookings, my number is 905-771-9774. And my website's www.peterbpercussion.com.
Yes, sir.
And you have videos of yourself and Marco playing gigs as well.
Yeah, if you check out our Facebook page, we have a YouTube channel dedicated to us and all our live artists for Bongwen B. So all you got to do is just type bongo and the word and B, one word on YouTube, and it'll bring you up to our YouTube channel.
Okay, you don't mind if we link that as well on our site?
Absolutely, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, all right. Well, I know you got to get going. I know you're going to Jazz Bistro. You got an hour and a half to get there, so we'll let you go. But Pete, we really appreciate you taking the time and talking to us today.
Definitely.
I think that some of our listeners who aren't too familiar with the percussion and the African rhythms and the Cuban, Afro-Cuban rhythms will really get a kick of seeing you perform. I'm gonna, like I said, I'm gonna put up some video on the website. Trust me, people, it's nothing you've ever heard before. It's not just someone hitting the drums. It's hitting with a purpose. It's people that love to do it actually playing the music, and that's, you can see it when you play. When I've been watching you, I can see it when you play, and
I can get attest to that as well.
It's like a drug, guys.
The best kind of drug, you know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right, Peter, we thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Pete, man. We'll see you in the summertime, bro.
Yeah, we'll definitely see you in the summer.
Thanks, gents. We'll see you soon.
All right,
thanks,
then.
Pete.
All right, bye-bye.
Later.
Well, that's Peter Bongiovanni from Bongo MB. Like I said, I'll put his contact information up on the website. Like I said, get out there if you can. He's around the city. Go to his website, see where he's going to be playing, and take it in. It's a good vibe.
Definitely.
Very, very, very good vibe.
As you hear the music playing in the back, I'm not sure if it's similar to this, but it's a very cool vibe. I've experienced it more than once, and it's definitely something that I would recommend to people that have the love for music. It's definitely a different aspect. Definitely check it out.
Well, I can tell you, I can tell you some stories, but I mean, we used to go to jams with this guy to his gigs just to lend support and stuff, and we'd be at the bar because he plays for half an hour, and then he gets an hour off, and plays for another half an hour, and gets an hour off, and we would hang out with him for the hour, and like before his first performance of the night, it'd be like everyone's in there dancing around to the top 40 music, whatever, and the DJ would come on and say, "Hey, now we have a percussionist, Peter B," and he would come on, all right, I'm gonna go to the bar and get a beer, and then when get my beer, come back and watch him do his 20-minute set. So Pete starts playing the drums. Daga, 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 daga. Turn around. There's 15 girls pretending they're belly dancers around this guy. And I'm like, because you know when girls hear drums, Afro-Cuban rhythms, everybody turns into a belly dancer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. That's fine. But it's just like, turn around. It's like, what the hell just happened here? And it's, buddy, I could tell you stories. It was
well,
good times,
bro. He's a snake. He's a snake charmer with those bongos.
Damn right. Damn right, man. You had some good times.
Peter, I'll be getting in contact with you for some lessons.
Yeah, it's funny. You don't know how many girls come and say, "Yeah, you gotta give me lessons." Mm-hmm. And he's just like, "Yeah, all right." But I guess he can't tell those stories now because he's married. But anyways, so like I said, we'll put it up on the website, and you can visit his website as well, and you know, get it in. All right, moving on.
Moving on.
We're gonna be talking about some sports. I know in the first podcast, I said we were going to do a lot of social issues.
Well, we'll definitely get around to that. But I mean, right now, you know what I mean? A lot of it's a playoffs, NBA playoffs. So there's a lot to speak on.
It's NBA playoffs, World Cup's coming on.
Oh yeah, World Cup
ending, NFL drafts.
Wow! It's a man's, definitely a man's safe haven going on right now. So definitely we got to address these topics.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, we got to we still have to address a lot of things. So I mean, we're off the Donald Sterling finally.
Finally. I'm sure we're gonna get back around to it, but we're finally off of it.
Yeah, I don't wanna talk about that anymore. Yeah. Right now we got the Heat game, Heat in Brooklyn going on in the background.
Definitely,
because we got a Heat monger in here.
Oh yes.
I don't know anything about basketball anyway, but
the Heat.
So let me ask you a question, Tony.
Yes, sir.
Roy Hibbert. What? That's my question.
Roy Hibbert.
What?
What is going on with Roy Hibbert?
What is happening with this guy? I've never seen a 7 foot. What is he? 7'2"?
He's about that. 7'2".
And not pull a rebound.
Yeah, and not pull a rebound and not score a single point. So I'm not really sure what's going on with his production on the offensive and defensive end. I've never really seen a player in the playoffs lose focus like that. He had a bounce back game yesterday. I think he had about 28 points, 9 rebs. Maybe a few blocks. I didn't really catch the stat line. I was just watching some of the game somewhat. I really don't know what's going on with this guy. What's your take on that, Rich?
Well, all I can see is what people say, right?
So right.
They say has something to do with Paul George sleeping with his fiance.
Yeah, we heard that floating around from a friend of ours that gave us a scoop on that.
Yeah, and Andrew Bynum was screwing him up somehow. I don't see how Andrew Bynum coming onto the team can cause you to your play to decrease at that.
Yes, you I did see that. That is correct.
Yeah, and he's also has a beef with Gilbert Arenas, and I don't even know how that even started.
Yeah.
But Gilbert Arenas posted some stuff on his Twitter. Oh my god, bro.
Well remember Agent Zero used to be he used to play for the Washington Wizards
right.
A while back, I guess before his gun charge.
Right.
And I guess now he's sitting pretty on that, 100 and, I don't know, odd mil that the NBA is still paying him. So I guess he had some leisure time on his hand. I saw something online where he actually made a video game of him and had some pics up of him. And I don't know, there's some allegedly supposed to be some sort of sex tape or something like that. I didn't really get the gist of it all. I don't know if you saw anything in reference to that, Reg.
But the sex tape was two garbage cans having sex.
Oh.
He was clowning this guy. There's two of those tall garbage cans having sex. That was Roy Hibbert's sex tape.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know where this hate comes from. I don't know if they had beef from before. If they didn't play together, so I don't know where this is coming from. But Gilbert Arenas, hilarious.
Yeah. I didn't have a clue. That's what that was all about. Wow, two garbage cans. That's really crazy. I definitely gotta check. I gotta check that one out. But in order for Indiana to win this series, they definitely need Roy Hibbert to contribute. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to go out and score, 28 points. But basically, he was averaging, 11 points in the regular season. I remember last year, he had a good playoff run. They needed him to rebound. They needed him to block shots. They needed to make it difficult for men like John Wall, Bradley Beal, Gortat. They just needed. He just needs to make it a lot more difficult for them to just get to the hoop. He's definitely a big part of the team. The production, being that who he is, does warrant the criticism. But it seems for the time being, he has answered his critics. And for the time now, until the next playoff series, mum's the word. So we'll I guess, you know what I mean? That's my take on it for the time being. You got any lasting thoughts on that, Reg?
Well, I just want to – I don't care how he plays. I hate the Pacers too, so I really don't care. But I just want to know why Gilbert Arenas has this, so much anger towards this guy. But I guess it'll all come out as we go on. But you have to see the stuff on Twitter. Oh my God!
Yeah, I definitely gotta take that in. I didn't get a chance to peep that, but from hearing what you said, it sounds hilarious.
Oh, buddy, it's hilarious, hilarious. I can listen to this guy all day. Okay, so moving to something a little bit more positive, we got Kevin Durant named the MVP of the NBA this week. I don't know if you had a chance to see his acceptance speech or not.
I definitely did. I got to I peeped it yesterday. I'm honestly a Kevin. After seeing and hearing the speech, I'm definitely a Kevin Durant fan. I guess I got on that bandwagon a little late, being that, you know what I mean, I'm a LeBron James fan. You know what I mean, Miami Heat, go Miami. But the speech from beginning to end was really heartfelt, off the cuff, nothing written down, solely and purely from the heart. He addressed his teammates individually, from the rookies to, I guess, you know, the starting five, to the vets. He thanked the coaching staff. You know what I mean? The mother, I'm not even going to lie, I kind of choked up a little bit at the end when he was speaking about how, you know what I mean, they had moved into an apartment and him and his brother and the mom were all hugging and they thought, you know, they started crying because they thought they made it. I've never really heard anything about that, Reg. Yourself, I guess, were you able to take that in?
Yeah, I saw it. I watched the last 10 minutes of it first,
right?
And then I was like, because everyone was saying, oh, what a fantastic speech. So definitely. I went on YouTube, I caught the last 10 minutes of it, then I said, well, I gotta hear this whole thing now.
Definitely.
So I had to go and find the whole thing, and yeah, it's not what I expected.
Definitely.
I was expecting a LeBron James acceptance speech. All about me and, you know, I like to thank my mom and God and all right, peace, you know. But that was a great speech. And, yeah. You know, it's like you said, when he's telling the stories about how we grew up, it's like, you know, he kept saying that we weren't supposed to make it or we weren't supposed to be here. And it's like, you know, when all the odds are stacked against you and you actually make it, it's a feel good story, right?
Definitely a feel good story. He wanted to be an actual recreational basketball coach. Like, you know what I mean? That's what he wanted to start.
Kids, right?
Yeah. And the guy's MVP of the league, you know what I mean? So kudos, young boys, girls. If you are a person or if you are an individual that is interested in the game of basketball, you definitely have to take in this speech. This guy's leadership roles are just off the charts. I've honestly never heard anything about that. I've never heard one individual give such a moving speech. And honestly, I'm definitely an instant fan after hearing that. He's a good ball player, but to see one's individual person and I guess what he stands for, I was very 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 impressed.
Yeah, I again, Knicks fan, so either way, Kevin Durant, whatever. But after seeing that and seeing what kind of guy he is and what he had to say about his teammates, you know what? It's a person you can root for now.
Definitely, you know what I mean? Definitely.
I could take Kevin Durant either way, good or bad. But now, you know, actually, I do want to see him succeed.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So that was good on him for that.
So definitely peep. If you haven't peeped it, you know what I mean? Definitely peep it. Go onto YouTube, the show. Like,
well, it's on our site.
Oh, it's on our site. Sorry about that.
The newest post on the site.
Yeah, the technician got ahead of me there. So yeah, trust me. So yeah, it's on the site.
Yeah, so go to the website. That's www.straighttalks.com. That's str8-talks.com.
Straight talks. Yes.
So you can see it on the website as well. throughout his speech, the one is what there's many pictures floating around of one of his teammates, maybe not looking as happy as everybody else was in the building. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Russell Westbrook.
Rusty.
There's one particular picture that's floating around. You can catch it on Twitter. You can catch it on probably anywhere if you just post.
Yeah, Instagram, yeah, Facebook. It's all out there.
If you search Mad Rusty, I don't know if you'll find him. But, and you know what? Looking at the picture, I think we just caught him in mid glance or mid whatever.
They caught him in a moment.
I don't think he was really like, why did he win this?
I should have won this.
Like everyone else is trying to portray it to be, right?
Right.
He missed half the season, didn't he? More than half the season? How can he? I'm talking about Rusty.
Yeah, yeah.
How could he even be in the talks for MVP? So I don't think he's jealous or anything like that. I just think we caught him in a mid glance or something like that. I think Kevin Garnett. Kevin Durant.
The game's on. Miami against Brooklyn. That's on. Sorry. Don't worry about it.
I think Kevin Durant just bowed his head down. And I think as he was moving, Russell Westbrook looked over to see what was happening. And then you get that half crazy look, right?
Right. So I think social media is probably blowing this up a lot more than it really is. As Kevin Durant spoke, you know what I mean, there's definitely a competitive nature between the two of them, but to say that Russell Westbrook is hating on Kevin Durant, nah, I don't think these guys go to the finals, what is it, 2 years ago to compete against the Heat. It can't, you know what I mean, that kind of hate doesn't happen for a team to be this successful, so I'm with Reg. I think it's just something more than they really think it is.
Yeah, I just caught him in a...
In a moment.
Mid-glance type of thing. All right, so got through that. Got through Rusty looking mad.
But you maybe at times, you, I guess, when he's going on the 1-on-5 break, I don't know, but that's that's something totally different. But
yo, that's Rusty, man. Leave
yeah,
him.
That's Rusty. But he's got that Kobe-esque mentality in him.
That's how he plays. So right. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But as I said before, I'm with Reg. I think it's just something the social media is trying to blow up. And I think it's all love there.
Yeah, for sure. So we have our first major casualty of the coaching ranks in the NBA as well.
Yeah.
Mark Jackson was fired by the Golden State Warriors. Mm. I was happy as shit. Come coach the damn.
Yeah,
Knicks.
You should have seen his BBM. He was writing, "I'm coming home."
You're damn right.
Yeah, was it "I'm coming home" or?
I think I had "Welcome back."
Yes. The welcome back, Cardi. Yes. I apologize. Yeah,
bring your ass back to New York and shake these fools up.
If
man.
You if you cut this man open, Reggie, I think he bleeds like orange, blue.
Blue and orange.
Yeah,
man.
Blue and orange. So yeah. But yeah, he was very happy at the fact that Mark Jackson was fired from Golden State. Apparently, from what I was reading, he didn't really have much allies within the Golden State organization. He's been to the playoffs. What, he's been the coach 3 years. They've been to the playoffs. Three times. Apparently, management's moving into a different direction. So I'm not really sure if you, Reg, I don't know if you know if there's anything really more to that particular story. Because there has to be something more to that, because basically the Golden State Warriors were pretty much a beaten stick, but you know what I mean, as Jackson came around, they did move to be a very competitive franchise and team.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything he had to do about his coaching. The players loved him.
Right.
Right? So I don't think it has anything to do with the coaching. I think he's a weird dude.
You think so?
Yeah, because I was reading in an article the other day that he doesn't want Jerry West coming around the practice facility.
Oh.
And it's like, you don't want... Jerry West is the symbol of the NBA. You don't want this guy coming to your practices?
Yeah.
Like, he's just a weird dude, man.
Yeah.
And he got rid of Scalabrine, and he got rid of that other guy that was taping conversations. But I can understand that.
Right.
He kicked that guy in his teeth. But but yeah, it's just, I think he was just had issues. Like, I don't know if it's... I've never talked to the guy, but just hearing what I hear, it's just personality issues. He's a weird dude.
Wow. And I guess from what you're saying, then I guess management said, yeah, he didn't allow Jerry West to be in the practice facility. I'm getting it from you, and I'm sure you're giving me what your sources are reliable. But I'm like, wow, that's a you can't really pull that one. Jackson, you know, I mean, Jackson's got clout in the NBA, Rookie of the Year. What is it, 85? If I can remember. Yep. You know what I mean? What he's one of the top assist leaders. You know what I mean? I'm just pulling these things out of my head here.
He's up there.
He's up there. So he's got clout in the league. You don't get hired as a coach just because. But I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that one. But what I'm hearing is that, you know what I mean? He's not going to be on the unemployment line for long. I'm sure there's some teams that are definitely going to be looking for his services. As you had pointed out, your New York Knicks, that would definitely be
home.
We should have the welcome back, Carter, spinning in the back. Sure, but don't worry, we'll get on top of that. But he's not going to – I don't think he's going to be out of the job for long. Jackson, from what I've seen, he's a real good coach. He's a player's coach because, you know what I mean, he's played the game, so he knows what it takes to have that winning mentality. I'm still boggled over the Jerry West talk. But,
I'll post the article on the website, too.
Yeah, do that. Definitely do that. But what do you think the final what do you think about Mark Jackson? You think he's going to be unemployed for long? You think the Knicks are going to hire him?
I don't think he's going to be unemployed for long. I don't think the Knicks will hire him. I don't think Phil Jackson wants him. Phil Jackson wants to run the triangle offense, and he wants someone who's played the triangle offense, and that person is Steve Kerr.
Wow.
He wants a point guard that's run the triangle offense so he can teach it as well. He doesn't want to come in and, okay, sit down. This is how our offense is going to run. Forget everything you know.
Right.
Forget everything you coach for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing now. He wants to bring in someone who's already done it, and it's successful, proven. He has, what, 3 rings with the Bulls?
Who's that? Kerr? Yeah, Kerr? I think he's got 3 with the Bulls. I think he got, one with the Spurs, if I can't remember. But,
so he's a champion,
yeah.
And he's run the triangle offense. There's nobody better. But I think Steve Kerr was kind of like, you know, stalling just in case Mark Jackson got fired so he could take the Golden State job.
Right.
Because his daughter goes to school in San Diego or something like that.
You're on top of things,
oh,
boy.
Oh, yeah, buddy. I know all the Knicks talk. so they said, if my daughter, my family's in California, if I don't work in California, no problem. But I don't think Mark Jackson's going to come back to New York, like, for all the reasons that I said before. And the pressure's going to be on him hard.
Yeah.
The New York kid and all this stuff. You got to bring the Knicks to the promised land and all this stuff. But one team I heard that he might go to is the Lakers. Because they just fired D'Antoni, and you heard about Magic Johnson.
No.
Magic Johnson was celebrating they fired D'Antoni.
Wow.
He tweeted it. He's like, I don't know the exact quote, but it was sort of like, thank God he's gone. I can post that too.
You considered it a firing. I thought he resigned, but I hear what you're saying. He was probably pressured. They just wanted to make it look good. But I hear you.
Kobe
hear
ain't
you.
Putting up with that shit.
No, he's not. Kobe's definitely not putting up with that crap.
So he might go to the Lakers, and I think it all depends on if they get the first pick in the draft.
Mm.
And you know me and my, if you listen to episode 1, you know me and my NBA conspiracy theories. I think the Lakers get the first pick. They pick Wiggins, and you got Wiggins and Kobe, and you're bringing LA back.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So
something.
June 25th, is that when
trust me, I'm not good with dates, but I think around NBA playoffs. NBA finals. Yes.
So
you're right.
If the Lakers, let me lay it on the line.
Yeah, please lay it out for me, because I'm getting it right now.
If the Lakers get the first pick, it's done.
Yes.
NBA draft lottery is rigged.
We know this what you're saying is definitely true, because we can, I guess, talk about the Chris Paul going to the late. No, that's something different. I'm sorry. Who got the number one pick?
It was New Orleans.
New Orleans.
The NBA owned New Orleans, and they needed a buyer. And they said, well, this is what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't know if it's true, but it's like, hey, if you buy this from us, we'll give you the first round draft pick, which turned out to be Anthony Davis.
Right.
But they also had to trade Chris Paul.
Right.
So they traded him to the Lakers first. So the NBA vetoed that. And then they traded him to, then they ended up trading him to the Clippers.
Right.
So.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy theory there.
Oh,
and then,
for sure.
And then also with, which is with LeBron departing ways to Miami. What is it? I think Cleveland got two number one picks like back to back. And I don't think that's just coincidental. That's just me. And again, the conspiracy theory that Reggie's on is definitely in play, I guess, in our books. You mean, take it as you will. But it just seems a little too convenient, too. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's definitely something that we would have to we'll definitely address that. We'll definitely address that.
It's too bad Cleveland can't draft, eh?
Remember
the coach or whatever they can't
do. We got the hometown kid, you know what I mean? Anthony Benny didn't
Should
really
he be a number one pick, though?
Maybe not, but yeah, you know what I mean? He's young, you know what I mean? I'm heard he was doing a lot of partying. He was overweight. I guess he just wasn't taking it serious. I don't know. I don't even think he thought he was going to go number one, but that's just my opinion because you look kind of shocked when he got drafted. That's just me just observing, but. That's definitely something that we're gonna have to get on. But in regards to Steve Kerr, what's your I personally, I'm sorry, and I'm just talking as again, this is straight talk. I don't think Steve Kerr is coach for shit. I'm sorry.
Why do you say that?
You know what I mean? He was on the Bulls. He just seemed to, well, in the Bulls, yeah, he was utilized. He made some clutch shots, you know what I mean, when it counted, and he played his position. I don't know. I just find that he's more of an analyst kind of guy. I think he should have stayed. You know what I mean? He tried the whole GM thing with Phoenix. It just didn't work out the way it was supposed to. You know what I mean? He can't run a team. I don't see him coaching. I don't know. I don't know about Steve Kerr, to tell you honest truth. Like, that's just my feeling. I don't really rate him as an NBA coach. Like, I don't know. We'll have to see, but I could be wrong, but I don't know. The vibe I'm getting from off of Steve Kerr, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be a good coach for some odd reason.
But my whole point is this. Okay. If you've been a point guard in the NBA,
right,
you can coach.
Yes.
Because that's what I think.
If
you need someone to come in and manage egos, you can get assistant coaches.
I agree.
So that's Mark Jackson went straight from the booth to coaching.
Exactly. Jason Kidd did the same thing. I didn't think Jason Kidd was going to be so successful, but I hear what you're saying.
Doc Rivers did the same thing.
Correct.
So, I mean, I think if you – and they're all point guards, right?
Right. They're all point guards.
You know, I think – if you've played point in the NBA and you've been successful and you played for a long time, Dwight Bikes ain't going to be a good coach.
Who's that? Sorry?
Dwight Bikes.
You know,
you know what I mean? He ain't going to be a good coach. But if you've played at a high level, won championships, been to finals, and you're the point guard, I think you can coach. This guy on Dwight Bikes.
He
doesn't even know who he is. Exactly.
He threw a total loop at me, Dwight Bikes. I was like, what? But yeah, I with that theory that you're giving Reggie, I have to totally agree. A point guard is the man. He's like the what's that? The man that who's the conductor of the orchestra. He leads, you know what I mean, the band. He that's a guy that just has a vision. And I totally agree with what you're saying. I couldn't agree more. I don't know. I just don't see Steve Kerr being a good coach. Mark Jackson had 3 years. Mark Jackson got 3 years. And I know he's acting kind of weird from what Reggie's telling me, but
yeah, but he got 3 years on a team that was shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right.
So first year it was just like, well, you got to give him 3 years to get this thing turned around. But coming out in the first round this year, wasn't in the plan.
Yeah,
right?
But Kerr, you know what I mean? If he goes to the Knicks, I don't think he can handle those bright lights because over there it's like you know what I mean. It's bright lights, big city over there. So I don't think Steve Kerr is really that guy to maybe, you know what I mean, step into that role to, you know what I mean, take the Knicks where it is that I guess Phil Jackson has a plan to take him to. L.A., I can see Mark Jackson going there, but I don't know, man. I'm really on the fence with Steve Kerr. And as I said earlier, I could be wrong, but I just don't have a feeling that he can really coach.
But Steve Kerr would be sort of like the Eric Spoelstra, because you got the guy, the president of the company, really running. If you're gonna sit here and tell me that Eric Spoelstra's running plays and it's not Pat Riley,
I wouldn't say he. I'm sure he's running some plays. I'm sure he.
Who, you know, Spoelstra?
I'm sure Pat Riley may. I'm sure Pat Riley it comes down from time to time and gives a little something from the playbook. That would be just asinine that you have Pat Riley sitting up in the, up in the office, and you don't go to him to, he took the Knicks to, that rough, rough and tumble, Knicks, the Lakers, he won championships. Like he's big in the game. Like, it would be crazy for you not to go. It's like whoever gets chosen to be the next head coach for the Knicks, it'd be crazy. You would have to be crazy not to go to Phil Jackson and ask him his. I know that they're going to be running the triangle, but I'm sure there has to be some other plays that Phil has in the bag of tricks. So it'd be crazy. So I think Spoelstra can coach.
So Pat Riley comes down to Eric Spoelstra at practice and says, in this situation, I think you should run this. Eric Spoelstra is going to look at him and say, I think we should run this. You think that's going to happen?
No, it's a.
And if Pat Riley says that for every play that Spoelstra puts out there, don't you think that they're mostly going to run a Pat Riley offense?
Okay. Trust me. I hear your logic. It makes what you're saying makes perfect sense. But I think Spoelstra is running some plays. He's got assistants there that I'm sure.
Who, Juwan Howard? Fuck
out of
here.
Not Juwan Howard. But I'm sure he's got some plays that he's got drawn up. I don't think it's just, Pat Riley's the puppet master. And you know what? It's a possibility, but I don't know. I think Eric Spoelstra might be running some plays. It's definitely something I gotta investigate. But I hear what you're saying, so I'm not gonna totally disagree with where you're coming from. But
he ain't running plays.
Oh, he's gotta be running some plays.
It's LeBron, improvised.
You got the best player in the world, it's definitely a possibility.
Best player in North America.
Whatever.
No, don't say the world.
Here we go.
There might be a cat in Brazil that you haven't seen yet.
When that cat gets here, we'll then make the decision whether he's the best guy to put on, lace up some shoes. But until then, it's about LeBron, Ramon, James. Holler for a dollar. Thank you.
All right.
So I guess, I don't know, I guess we're done with Mr. Kerr and Mr. Jackson, or yeah, what's your last thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, Mark Jackson, I don't think he's coming back to New York. It's too much. It'd be too much pressure on him and his family. Stay out in California. Stay out in L.A. Rebuild that squad. You're going to have the first round draft pick. You got Kobe.
Right.
Build something on that.
Right.
As far as Steve Kerr goes, like you said, he can't be a coach. I disagree with that. I think he can. I think, like I said, a point guard, you can coach. So that's what I think.
I thought Steve Kerr played shooting guard.
Whatever.
Okay. All right. So we differ to agree, and that's what this is all about.
Well, keeping on the coaches.
Yes.
Your man.
Who's that?
Dwayne Casey.
Okay.
Mr. Toronto Raptors coach.
Yes.
Just signed a 3-year extension.
Yes, he did.
You knew that was coming, though, right?
Well, 3 years. Well, I thought they had. I didn't. Honestly, you want me to be honest? I didn't even know that he was even up for contract, to tell you the honest truth. If you want me to be totally honest with you, I didn't know that he was up. Like probably a day after, like the Raptors had lost. That game. All of a sudden, Casey, 3-year deal, signed, sealed, and delivered. If I'd been doing my homework, maybe I would have known that he was, his contract was up. But personally, I think it's a good signing. He has brought back basketball to the T-dot. Well, not him one, but as a coach, I catch some of his interviews, his post games and whatever have you, and he's about togetherness. And I really like that. When, just to give you an example, when T. Ross wasn't really playing too exceptional. In the series against Brooklyn, Toronto against Brooklyn, he always, defended the guy. He never threw the man underneath the bus. He said we're just gonna, we're gonna keep with him. He's gonna bounce out of it. And you know what? I like that. Keep it in the locker room. Don't be. As I said, don't throw anyone underneath the bus. We're all in this together. It's basketball is definitely a 5-man game. With men on the bench. So I like Dwayne Casey. I like his mentality. I like his philosophy. I was reading an article about Lowry, Kyle Lowry. Everyone knows that he's up for he's in a contract year. He said that he's grown as a man, as a player. And that's all dedicated to Dwayne Casey. So I love the signing. I don't know what you think, Reg. What do you think about that?
I think it's a good signing. I think the players like him, so you have to keep him around.
Right.
What I mean? Once the players like the coach and they want to play for him, you can't let him go. Plus, he did a good job.
Right. And sorry, I just wanted to throw in very quickly. He did win a championship with Dallas the year that they beat the Heat. So he's got and trust me, that hurt me to say that. But he's got the championship caliber for what the Raptors want. I just want to throw that in there.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, he knows what it takes to build a championship. It's not just watching from the outside saying we need to be more like the Heat. He actually won a championship. He knew what it took to build one. So to bring him in here and have him build up a team like that, I think it was a good deal. You have to keep him here.
Yeah, and I think that was a brilliant signing. I know, I guess maybe earlier on in his coaching career with he was there were some questionable fans would say, and they put a lot of blame on him. I think everything was just pretty much like a learning curve. I really think he's a good coach. Obviously, they got to fine tune things. And the Raptors are on the come up. Hasn't been in the playoffs in 6 years. I think they're moving in the right direction, and I think Casey at the helm is definitely the right guy to hopefully lead the Raptors to more playoffs appearances. I'm not gonna say championship. Then I'm just being naive, but we'll definitely see about that.
But it's so easy to blame the coach when something goes wrong. You know what I mean? We're Leaf fans, right?
If you just want to talk on this topic just very quickly, I caught an interview with what's the coach's the Leafs coach's name? Randy Carlisle. I saw a interview with him. Basically, he's saying that the Leafs, I think he's a straight shooter, the same way I think about Casey.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And I think Carlisle, I think he gets a bad rap. It seems to be that there's a lot of prima donnas that are in the Leafs dressing room. No one wants to get their hands dirty. He asks the players to do certain things. And And as you said, the Leafs are losing. The first person they're looking to is the coach. Right. So that I just wanted to just throw that out there because it's tough. It's a tough job to be a coach, to tell you the honest truth, especially when you're not winning. Winning changes everything. But when you're losing, wow, you're definitely the first one on the chopping block.
Well, it was easy being the Raptors coach in Toronto for the last 6 years because no one was expecting anything anyway. But next season, well, you could win 48. Well, you got to win 54 now.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? So, and you got to go back to the playoffs, and you got to get to the second round. So the pressure's on.
Yeah.
We'll see how he does.
Definitely. No one's, you're not going to be creeping. The Raptors are not going to be creeping on anyone from behind this time. They are definitely on full blast right now. It's a great thing, but they definitely have to. They have some expectations that the fans, I'm sure the organization, I'm sure the coach, the players, they definitely have to. Next year, they definitely have to succeed. Well, they have to be better than they have been this year. So we'll definitely see.
All right. So, do you want to get into Game 7 or what? We have like 5 minutes left.
Game 7. Oh, shucks. That was a heartbreaker. I'm not even gonna lie.
I'm not even a Raptors fan.
Yeah, you know what I mean. For me personally, I can't talk to Reg because Reg can talk for himself. We love basketball, right? We've played together. We watch, whatever have you. We love basketball, and just to see that the Raptors were back in the playoffs was a great thing. it was Reggie's birthday. Happy belated, birthday, Reg.
Thank you.
And it was a heartbreaker. We went to Boston Pizza. You know what I mean? Got into the whole vibe of things. We were there at my cousin, and we were just taking in the game. And when I saw Terrence Ross, the Raptors were not playing up to speed to begin with, I felt. And they were just getting out-hustled. Balls that they should have had, rebounding, they just didn't seem that they wanted it bad enough. And and besides all of that, seeing that, they still had an opportunity to win this game at the end. When I saw Terrence Ross steal that ball, and I swear in my head I thought they were going to win the game. I swear I did. I thought they were going to win the game. And it was a heartbreaker. But it's, in hindsight being 2020, it's a learning experience. You know what I mean? Pushing Brooklyn, you know what I mean? I think these guys are like 100. Their team is, their payroll is like $100 million.
Are they going to say their age is like 100?
No. This is what they've built. Yeah, I know KG and Pierce, they're past their prime and whatever have you. But the Raptors, they took this team to seven games. And I said this before, they had their opportunities to win. But you got to take the positives away from this. One point away to going on to the second round. Seven games. It was, for me personally, it was heartbreaking. Rich, I don't know how you felt about it, but I was definitely
heartbreaking because the Knicks weren't in it. But
here we go.
To watch the game, though, seriously, and like we said with Ed when Ed was on the podcast last week. Once you put Toronto on your jersey,
yeah.
All things being equal, you know, I got a place in my heart. It might not be a big place in my heart, but I got a place in my heart for you. And it was especially playing Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, those two guys that I do not like. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, next year, I think they'll do better than they did this year. Honestly, if you're gonna ask me for a future prediction, I think they win the 50 games that they need to.
Right.
And I think, like you said, no, they're not sneaking up on anybody next year.
Right.
So, I mean, I honestly think that Kyle Lowry, the last play, was designed to kick it out to
okay.
But he bobbled the ball.
You know, I like.
And
I
he
like.
Had to shoot it.
Yeah, I was saying that he should have kicked it to DeRozan on the wing there. DeMar DeRozan fan. Lowry, he definitely got the Raptors to the way they were. You know, reading articles, people are saying the man's the heart and soul of the team, and I have to tend to agree. It's just it was tough. It was tough to swallow, and I would have to agree with Reg. Hopefully, you know, I mean, that's what the play was designed.
Well, I think it was more of a if you drive, they're gonna have to collapse. Yes. Someone's gonna be open.
Yes.
Just kick it.
Yes.
But he bobbled the ball in 6 seconds. You gotta shoot it.
And this is the thing. And if what you're saying is correct, which it probably is, the Raptors, they kept it in the locker room. You know what I mean? I saw DeMar come over and say, you know what I mean, chit up. Like, you know what I mean? I read an article saying that he can go to sleep knowing that Kyle Lowry, you know what I mean, took that shot. Mm-hmm. And that's after a loss, you know what I mean? And yeah. I
sideways looks.
Right, no sideways looks. Like, yo, why didn't you kick the ball to me? Yeah. And I love it. I love the unity. Hopefully, you know what I mean, they can keep the core team together. I gotta agree, Reg. It's they definitely have things to build up on. So Toronto fans, I think we're going to be hopefully in this position for a while. I won't say a long, long time because we know what happened. You know what I mean, 6 years ago. But hopefully we'll be around. Hopefully.
Yep. I definitely think if they can build on, if they're not happy with where they are, they'll definitely build. If they're content to just making the playoffs and stuff like that, it's going to go the other way.
Definitely.
We were going to talk about free agents coming into Toronto, namely Vince Carter. We might leave that for another show.
Right.
We had some Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett quotes about the fans at the ACC. They were actually pretty impressed at how loud the stadium was and the amount of people that were standing outside in the rain to watch.
I don't know what you're talking about. Reg, we went down to game one. You don't remember what game one was like? We were down there.
Yeah.
Tony and I
went to Maple Leaf Square to watch the game.
It was crazy.
It was nuts.
it was crazy. Nuts. And that's us again being basketball fanatics that we had to be down there. We didn't, we didn't have the money for the game, but we were down there. And when we walked through those doors at Union Station, it was nuts. It was crazy. Like, I can't even put it into words. It was nuts. Trust me.
We were actually debating going out at halftime and seeing if we can get scalpers to give us half price on the tickets.
That was Reggie. Reggie's idea. That was a smart idea too.
These men are selling tickets for $400 apiece.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa.
Yeah. It was, and they were selling the T-shirt. The whole was it the Northern Uprising? Northern Uprising. Yeah. When the game started, a man was selling it for $15. When halftime, a man came into the bar we were sitting at Hoops, and it was like $30. Like it was nuts. And I loved it. Trust me. I loved it. It was the Raptors that united all these fans together. I loved it. I loved it.
You can just see everyone's talking about how diverse the crowd was. There was Indian guy, Chinese guy, black guy, white guy, this guy, that guy. And that's like, if the Leafs are playing, you know what the majority of the crowd is. And it's not, I'm not saying that's bad or anything, but
right,
you're just bringing all these different cultures and people together, and it's through the game of basketball, and that's why I love ball.
Exactly. That's why we love ball.
You know? So, all right. So we'll dive into free agency, NBA free agency, kind of towards the end of the season, I guess.
Definitely.
End of the playoffs.
Yes.
Because it doesn't really make sense to guess and speculate now, because things could change and happen,
definitely.
Right? So, once again, this is episode 4 of the Straight Talks podcast. You can reach us at www.straighttalks, that's STR, the number 8-TALKS.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at the @ Straight Talks, one word, STR, the number 8-TALKS. You have anything to add, Tony?
No. Again, we got to thank Peter Bongo. Spending some time with us. Mm-hmm. We really did appreciate that, and I definitely did learn some things. Even though it was very brief, but we thank you, honestly, Pete. We really, really do.
Yeah, we do, and like I said, we'll put all his contact information on our partners page.
Right.
And trust me, it's an experience you'll never forget if you hire him and they start doing what they do. So that's that.
That's that.
We're going to leave you with, in honor of Peter, we're going to leave you with a classic house song.
Oh, yeah.
I think the intros are going to be pretty much up to the time type music, stuff you never heard of. But our outros are going to be classic bangers.
Oh.
That's what we're going to do.
And sorry, I'm not trying to get cocky or anything like that, but yeah, it's going to bang. So
yeah.
Just give me a heads up from now still. So put your dancing shoes on. I don't know, whatever it is that you guys are going to be doing, but yeah, it's going to be pretty hectic.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I also forgot.
What's
at the beginning, I usually intro the song that we played. The first song in the intro, actually, the song before the show started was called So Good to Me. It's by an artist named Chris Malachak. Classic 2013 house song.
No, that's new. Wow, sorry.
Yeah,
it's Reggie, last year, right? So. Reggie put me onto the house thing, so I'm still learning. I'm a work in progress.
I'm
but
all
house
the,
beats are wicked.
All over the map with music, so
definitely
hear a lot of different things here. And the song that we were playing during Pete's interview was called T. That's T E A, by an artist named Chocolate. She's out of Chicago. A badass beat. And the final song we're going to play in our outro is called Magic Feet by Mike Dunn. You'll know this song when you hear it. So I'd like to thank you all for listening to the episode 4 of the Straight Talks, and we'll catch you next week. Thanks.
See ya. We'll be right back.